We'll communicate the May 20, 2010 edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Rain Report. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, reading this with my new Heil PR781 microphone, which I picked up at this year's Dateneyhamvention 2010. The FCC Forum is always a major draw at the Dateneyhamvention, which just concluded on Sunday, May 16th. While some feel that this year's forum wasn't worth sitting through, we're going to break it up into three parts with the most important segment first. Here's the forum moderator, Bill Cross, W3TN.
My name is William Cross. I work in the mobility division of the Federal Communications Commission's Wireless Telecommunications Bureau. Within the organization of the commission, the mobility division is the office in the FCC where we have an oversight function for the amateur service. Tell you a little bit about myself. I've been on the air for 43 years, been licensed for about 41 of them. on the air, if you hear W3TN, it's probably me, and if the CW is not good, it's because I use his hand key. Not the computer processors or some of this other automated stuff that's out there today. I haven't been able to figure that out. And actually, I felt right at home with that yesterday. I went to the forum that they had for the ARRL law guys that were here. And the fellows without the PowerPoint presentations, everything went smoothly. The guy with the PowerPoint presentation needed 5 people to help him get it up on the screen. I was saying, yeah, this is right. This is going well. You've probably noticed Laura Smith is not here this year. There was kind of a cryptic note as to what was going on QRZ.com. They put up for her that she asked them to put up. I want to address and quell any fears that because Laura is not here, enforcement activity in the amateur service has somehow fallen off the wagon. It has not. Laura is on special assignment in Russia. It is not bringing back boxes of QSL cards from Box 88 for you guys. As much as I wish it was. She asked me to let you know that she is not here because she and her husband are working their way through the process of adopting their second child. Now, Laura has said that she may be in the office in June on an irregular basis, but she will be available by email and voicemail, and enforcement activities will continue. She regularly works from home. Don't think for a moment you guys can get away with anything. But also don't be surprised if responses to your emails come in the middle of the night. Turning to commission activities, I work in the mobility division of the Wireless Bureau. The division also has staff members in our Gettysburg office. The Gettysburg staff handles most of your applications and licensing matters and also deals with the universal licensing system. Also in our Gettysburg office, we have the FCC's call center. The call center is part of the Consumer and Government Bureau. CGB staffers are the people you first talk to when you call 1-888-CALL-FCC. It's no secret the CGB staffers think you all are crazy. So many of your questions they can't answer are forwarded to me or Laura. Eventually, we do get back to you. Other parts of the commission that also affect the amateur service are the Office of Managing Director. It handles all the fee matters, including what you have to pay for vanity call signs. It handles the CORS system, that's that registration system you have to use. And it is responsible for one of the things you love so much, the electronic comment filing system. There also is the Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau. It is handling the docket that deals with employees transmitting messages on behalf of their employers during these emergency communications tests and drills. There have been a number of items that have come out of the commission over the past few months on the general area of emergency communications, and these items have expanded what you could do to help out with emergency communications tests and drills. There's been a proposed rule change, and there have been 2 public notices. I want to mention these so that you all know where we are on this topic. Now, the first public notice that came out was the October 20th public notice concerning amateur service communications during government disaster drills. The public notice noted that transmissions by amateur stations participating in government disaster drills must comply with all of the applicable amateur service rules, and it also specifically stated that, as we all know, the amateur service is not an emergency radio service. In the Commission's Organization of Services, emergency radio services are in Part 90 under the land mobile category of services. The public notice also noted that the Commission rules specifically prohibit amateur stations from transmitting communications, quote, in which the station licensee or control operator has a pecuniary interest, including communications on behalf of an employer. You may recall that I said the same thing at this forum last May. Contrary to what some licensees claimed in letters to their congressional representatives and in other forums, my statement was not a, quote, new interpretation. It is what the rule says, and has said since 1993. The public notice also set up a process that allowed the government entity conducting the drill to request a waiver so that employees could transmit messages on behalf of an employer if certain information was provided. We have received about 25 requests for a waiver since October 20th. Most of these have been granted. Many of the requests have been for weekend-type events. A few of them have been for only a few hours. There is no requirement that the grantee report back to us whether they used the waiver, so we have no idea as to whether the waiver was needed, used, or what happened during the event. This process is still available today, and we occasionally receive requests, but it seems that most government entities, when they look at their communications needs, find that they can satisfy them without needing employees to transmit messages on behalf of their employer. Note that this process is available only to the government entity conducting the drill and only for government-sponsored emergency preparedness and disaster drills. The October 20th public notice was followed by an NPRM. It's a joint docket between the Wireless Bureau and the Public Safety Bureau. It's WP Docket 1072. This was released on March 24th and proposes to add another exception to Section 97.113. The prohibited communications rule. The proposal is to allow a station control operator to participate on behalf of an employer in a government-sponsored emergency preparedness or disaster readiness test or drill. The proposal was published in the Federal Register April 22nd. Comments are due May 24th, and reply comments are due June 7th. When I looked, we had received 182 comments on the proposal so far. To say the views expressed in the comments are miles apart would be an understatement. The staff of the Public Safety Bureau will be handling that docket because it was concerning the public safety and emergency communications.
You are listening to our first excerpt from the 2010 Dayton Hamvention FCC Forum, featuring FCC employee Bill Cross, W3TN. Cross will continue his forum talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available via the internet for download or via podcast from therainreport.com. We'll be right back.
Some of you may be aware that in this process earlier, there was a petition for rulemaking on this topic that was filed by Tom Blackwell, N5GAR, David Corsi, N5FDL, and Gordon West, WB6NOA. Their petition sought comment to amend the rules to permit amateur station transmissions, quote, necessary for disaster relief or emergency response, including training exercises, planning, drills or tests, without respect to whether the amateur operator has related employment, where the transmissions are for the exclusive use of amateur radio operators or commercial purposes. When I read that, my thought was, by the time you work through that and decided if you fitted under that exception, the event would probably be over. The commission in the notice of rulemaking incorporated the Blackwell, Corsi, and West position into the proceeding. It did not propose what the petitioners asked for or seek comment on their proposal, but rather the commission proposed a much simpler rule change. After the October public notice had been released and people had a chance to see how it applied to their situation, certain groups noticed that they are not eligible for waivers because they are not government entities, or when they wanted to conduct their emergency preparedness test and drills, these drills and times were not part of a government-sponsored test or drill. Yet they, too, want their employees to be allowed to transmit business messages for them on amateur service frequencies. One of those groups is hospitals. And on February 17th, the American Hospital Association filed a request for a blanket waiver of Section 97.113A3. It wants us to permit hospitals seeking accreditation to use amateur radio operators who are hospital employees to transmit communications on behalf of the hospital they work for. Hospitals need to have backup communication systems in order to meet certain certification requirements. On April 19th, we requested comment on this waiver request. 364 comments have been received in response to the public notice. The comments, I mean, you all really jumped on that one when it was, you know, 365 comments so far coming in. The comments are from amateur radio operators, some of whom oppose the waiver request in any way, shape, or form and basically see it as the ruination and end of amateur radio, and others who support it. They say it's absolutely necessary, perfectly reasonable, completely straightforward. Every hospital that filed a comment supported it, as you can imagine. This request is going to be addressed in a future order or some other commission decision. Stay tuned for further developments on that one. As of now, amateur radio operators who are employees of a hospital may be included in the waiver request from a government entity conducting a government-sponsored emergency preparedness test and drill.
This concludes the first of three excerpts we'll be bringing you over the next several weeks from the just-completed Dayton Hamvention FCC Forum, which featured Bill Cross, W3TN. Just a reminder that though the May 24 cutoff date for comments to the ECOM proposed rule change will have passed for most of our listeners, you can file reply comments with the FCC up until June 7th. We'll hear more from Bill Cross next week. Before we bid you a cheese fondue for this week, I'd like to read you an unsolicited testimonial concerning the just-completed Dayton Hamvention from a first-timer. His email reads as follows. Hello, all. This being my first hamvention, I was blown away by the expansiveness and the number of exhibitors. Not knowing how to contact or find other club members, Kermit W9XA assisted me in the ARRL booth with my purchases and then introduced me to Chris, the database coordinator, who happened to be there at that time. I attended Contest University on Thursday, missed the fun in the storm that Don had. The talks were great. So were the forum talks at the Hamvention. At the flea market, I picked up a two-channel oscilloscope for $35. Now I just have to see if it works. Being a new ham in the ARRL section, I soldered together my first kit, a 24-hour digital clock. It works! Another major high point for me was to see all the youth interested in ham radio. While I was working on my clock kit, a boy and his mother sat at the station next to mine. He was going to build an electronic gear. I introduced myself to this young lad, and he in turn replied by informing me that he was Cameron, KJ4EDF. During our conversation, I learned that Cameron was 8 years old, general class, and has been a ham for 3 years. His mother informed me that at the hamvention, he missed obtaining his extra class license by 2 questions. Need I say more? I also observed in the ARRL Youth League section how enthusiastic these children were playing the games that related to amateur radio. There was the motivation of self-accomplishment, and getting to select their prize from the level categories bucket that probably added to their excitement. The experience I had in meeting new friends and the courtesy displayed throughout the hamvention is an experience I'll always remember as this is what it means to be a ham. 73. Michael, KC9OPV. RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, reports that while there was a little technical trouble during the hamvention, he secured lots of forum audio for future RAIN reports. He reports, too, that the weather was remarkably free of rain, the nicest he can remember in years. Hap wishes to thank Vern Jackson, WA0RCR, of the Gateway 160-meter radio newsletter, for all of his help in setting up, maintaining, and tearing down the audio interfaces in each forum room. Thanks also go out to his wife, Dottie Jackson, KG0VN, Hap's wife, Stephanie Holly, KA9WKD, and RAIN readers Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, and Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Hey, that's me! For their assistance as well. The RAIN report is copyright 1990-2010. RAIN, all rights reserved. Now for Hap Holly, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Bidding you very 73 from all of us with RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.